You'll enjoy it if you like force abilities and lightsabers, space.
Like I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I might offend you and other people, but I didn't hate the prequels.
I've come to actually enjoy the prequels, so you won't offend me. I used to hate them, but
We just finished episode 3 last night because when I got Disney Plus, we bought a 4K TV. I'm like, we're gonna watch all the Star Wars movies in 4K. And my wife's never seen them, right? So
oh, wow.
I'm like, well, if we're gonna do this, like the easiest way to do it is for you to watch them, like probably in order, so like you understand the story. Yeah, you lose some of the reveals on like the original trilogy, right? But
Yeah.
like it's easier for her to kind of follow the story and figure out how things are going. So we finished episode 3 last night, and I turned to her. I go, "You've paid your dues. Like you've watched the shitty ones. Now we get to watch the good ones." So,
That's amazing.
yeah, it's really cool because like she doesn't hate them, and I get to watch them over again, and it's kind of cool.
Same thing happened with my wife, but she hasn't seen them all yet.
Oh,
But
really?
my daughter, like, I've got my daughter. So tonight I actually had a conversation with her. Went on longer than I thought it was going to go on, and she was saying things that I had apparently like taught her, and then she like gone on her own way and learned, watched, found out about, held a conversation about Star Wars.
Oh my God.
This is the greatest thing I've ever. What?
That's.
Like I just she
Yeah.
opened up Pandora's box, and it was fantastic.
That's pretty awesome though. Like Pebble's like in love with Star Wars right now. So with like Disney Plus, we've been watching like the Lego Star Wars stuff. I don't know if
Oh
you've
yeah,
seen
that
any of
stuff's
that.
great too. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But he loves it. He loves it. Like he always says, like he's like, I want to watch the robots. I want to watch the robots. So I'll pull up like Lego Star Wars something or other, or like the we started watching what's the animated series, Clone Wars, Attack of the
Yeah, Clone
Clones, one
Wars.
of those two.
Yeah. Clone Wars would be the first one. Yeah.
Yeah, started watching that. I think that was a little bit too old for him. But no, he loves watching the Lego ones, and they're pretty funny. Like, there's a lot of like
Oh yeah.
sarcastic, tongue-in-cheek humor that like Star Wars fans can appreciate. So yeah, so we got him one of the Elf on a Shelf's for Christmas, and so obviously one of the things is like they're supposed to name it, like give it a name. And
Right.
my proud papa moment was when he named his Elf on a Shelf Yoda.
That's amazing.
I'm like,
That's amazing.
this is so every morning I wake up, I'm like, dude, we gotta go find Yoda. Like, where's Yoda? It's
Yeah, no,
I'm
that's like
trying,
that. How more proud could you be of a dad? Like
right? Right?
that's like
I mean he was born on May the 4th.
Oh my gosh.
He named his first costume, his first Halloween costume was Yoda. And he named his first Elf on a Shelf Yoda. I figured, like, I'm pretty much done parenting. Like, I've done all I can do from this point.
Yeah, you can just wash your hands of it.
Yeah.
He's gonna take care of himself at this point.
Yeah. No. Like we're good. Like I've done my duties, right? But yeah. So for people out there listening, that might be expecting a 1 year anniversary podcast, because I think actually Wednesday or Thursday was the official like 1 year anniversary of the release of the first episode of this podcast. Way back when a young up and coming streamer named Robert M. Catalano was featured on the podcast. He was one of the first person. We didn't have Discord questions. This was back when I wrote notes for the podcast. Like I had entire outlines for these things instead of just fucking winging them. So the plan was originally we do something similar to what we did for like the 1 year anniversary of the community last February, where we got as many people into a call at once, and then I spent 17 hours editing it to make it a cohesive piece of podcast material. Unfortunately, we had some scheduling issues, so Whiskey had to pop out. Obi wasn't able to make it. Moody wasn't able to make it. Chaotic's traveling right now, so we decided to postpone till next week. That way, we can get everybody in. So it's just gonna be kind of you and me.
But I think Whiskey's back in.
No way, that would be amazing. But yeah, so I think it's just gonna be us for tonight. Just chatting, and if Whiskey jumps in, then Whiskey jumps in. Yeah, we'll just do a short one. Anyways, happy birthday to the podcast. It's officially, 1 year old. We somehow managed to survive it.
Happy birthday 1 year.
Yeah. And I think we're like, 3 or 4 episodes away from having like a full 52. So over the course of the year, I think I only missed 4 weeks. Which I'll take up and I'll post in the achievement section myself, because that's an achievement for me to.
Dude, that's impressive. That's a full year of podcasts. I don't care what anybody says. And like producing and getting together the schedule and everything like that. That's damn impressive.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? It's 100% like due to the community. Like if the community didn't have such a great response and wasn't so hungry for these podcasts, like I probably wouldn't have stuck with it. But like when podcasts were late or I didn't get questions up or something like that, like people were asking for it. Like people were actively looking. Ladies and gentlemen, that ASMR that you heard was the entrance of the one and only Whiskey Tango. Good evening,
what's
bud.
Hi, guys.
What's up?
How you doing?
Hey, Whiskey. What's up, bud?
Am I late? Am I late?
No, we were early. You said you weren't going to make it, so we got started early.
Like, how early? Is it like a half hour late? Am I?
You're 7 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's
not
bad.
Not even
that early. We talked about... Did you see Star Wars?
I did.
Did you like it?
I feel like I'm in the middle there somewhere.
In the middle? Okay, that's fair. That's kind of the impression that I've gotten from... like the internet. Some people are like, don't listen to the critics. This is really good.
Yeah, like unless you're like emotionally invested, which I mean you may be, I don't know. But like
I don't know your life.
My life revolves around Star Wars, but nonetheless, no, that's for this new trilogy, fucking perfect.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there was some lazy writing in there.
Yeah.
Well,
so obviously,
it did go through 6 rewrites, so that's completely acceptable.
Obviously, before we get anybody to turn the podcast off, I will say we will keep this episode spoiler free.
Okay.
Just because, the movie's only been out for 2 days. I don't expect everybody's seen it yet. I know I haven't seen it yet. So
when Mickey Mouse ripped off Emperor's face and went, ha ha, I am the true lord, it was the greatest moment in the whole movie.
I mean, that's not really a spoiler, though, because we all saw that coming.
South Park predicted it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if you've ever watched South Park, you'd know.
well, that's good. So, do you guys think that the Skywalker saga has been wrapped up? Are you happy?
Yeah. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I feel like I've got mixed opinions about it being wrapped up. But that goes deeper like into like Disney buying it from Lucas.
Gotcha.
Way versus what they create.
Now one thing we will get into spoilers on is The Mandalorian. So if you haven't listened to The Mandalorian, fast forward like 15 minutes because I want to talk about this because I'm upset. Did you guys watch this week's episode?
Yes.
Yes.
Did you punch your TV?
No.
Oh.
I slammed my desk at work because I was at work when I watched it.
Oh, you watched it at work?
Yeah, I watched it at work, yeah. Like, I literally stopped what I was doing for, like, the 30-some-odd minutes that it was, and I just watched that show. And at the end of it, I audibly, like, it was loud enough where people around me looked at me, and I, like, hit my desk, and I went, why?
Well, I didn't say that, but I did pull a Darth Vader in the prequel and just go, no! But was like, okay, I get it. They want to leave it on a cliffhanger, so I understand that. But like, fuck, it's, you know
we
what?
We still have one more episode.
Is there one more? I thought it was over.
So that's where I made the mistake. Is like we were like halfway through the episode. My wife's like, is this the last episode? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, it feels like it's gonna be because they're gonna go and they're gonna kill this guy. And then I Googled how many episodes are in the first season, and there is one more episode, and I'm like, fuck. Like, this isn't going to get wrapped up tonight. I go, and there's going to be some sort of cliffhanger that's going to leave me furious.
Mm-hmm.
They released this episode on Wednesday for specific reasons dealing with the rest.
Yeah. And,
as far as
and
dealing with what?
Well, because the new movie was releasing like 2 days later.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
They wanted to make sure it came out before.
Things I don't want to say to spoil stuff. Yeah.
I'm not
going to talk about it after the podcast, but like.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it on here, but there was things that I saw in the episode of The Mandalorian where I was like, oh, okay, the Force can do this. And then the movie like reinforced that.
Gotcha.
And I was like, oh, all right. I wonder if like. They did that on purpose, like released it. So like,
oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Well,
I didn't know the Force could do
100% timed. And I think it was timed perfectly for something that was being created for 3 years, something that was, well, 2.5 years, and then something that was made for a year. Like, I think that I'm going to go out on a limb here, and it's going to be a short limb for me, but I truly and honestly believe that Disney is trying to Marvel what they did with Marvel to Star Wars. Like,
yeah.
They're going to make a 10-year saga out of this new generation of Star Wars. Which
yeah,
is why
they had
really wanted to close off.
They had to end the old one first.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I could totally see it happening. Right? Like you had, you know, individual character movies like Solo, and I'm sure we could get many more of those. And then obviously these big kind of tentpole moments, kind of like your Infinity Wars and your Endgames, but,
yeah,
you know, set in the Star Wars saga. And you've already got the fan base, right? Like the Star Wars fan base is there. It's passionate. Like,
which, real quick, speaking of the movie, without giving anything really away, I'm just curious. Is there a Lando Calrissian Disney Plus series, like show?
I don't think there is, but I don't think there was, but I think there is.
Interesting.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Because there's something that happens in the movie where you're like, this is clearly going somewhere.
Yeah. You could tell that it's setting up something else, whether it's a new movie.
There's
or
so much I want to say about that one moment alone, but again, I don't want to give any.
Yeah. But I think the interesting thing when we talk about like The Mandalorian was that. That was like the first real cliffhanger that we've gotten in this whole series.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like
they were setting that up the entire series so far, basically, because you have a culmination of all the characters coming together.
Yeah. And like,
yep.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting because as we were watching through, I'm like, each one of these episodes is almost self-contained. Right.
Yeah, it really is.
Like it's a chunk of time. And when you put them back to back, okay, they kind of make sense. But it almost played out like a video game where it's just like, here's this mission, right? This episode is like a quest that you're doing in this game. You know, you can almost relate it to that. But then this one, it was just like, they pick up the child and then like it cuts to black and you're like, what?
Mm-hmm.
As mentioned, it opened up the doors to a whole nother like side of the universe. Not just the Mandalorian, but the Star Wars universe on its own.
Yeah.
When that TIE fighter came down,
mm-hmm.
he walked out and he was like, you don't know how important that child is to me.
Yeah.
It's tough.
I haven't
seen the movie. It's really tough because they really tied the two fucking together.
Did they?
I honestly don't even know that I caught it.
I can't say without giving away things, so I won't. But we can talk. We can converse later. But.
Yeah,
I might have missed it. I don't know. I was inebriated when I went to see it.
So that as cryptic as that was, like that kind of makes me excited that we could see, like this sort of single universe that weaves through, like we said, we've got like, you know, solo character movies, but then like it could weave through like these miniseries and like these episodes and like everything just weaves together and plays off of each other. Like that could be really, really cool.
Well, think about this. So Clone Wars, the cartoon series, we were talking about this earlier, Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a whole other season coming out. Dave Filoni is making another year or another season of the Clone Wars to quote unquote close it out properly.
Yeah.
And this comes out, I think, next year, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's next year. And if you've gone through the Clone Wars and you got to the very last season, holy shit, it opens up a lot of doors about Force, and it explains a lot of things.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't even realize that the Clone Wars was canon.
Yeah, absolutely. It is the, I think, the furthest back canon you can get.
Okay.
They could have gotten rid of it, but they didn't.
Interesting.
And Dave Filoni, the creator of it, he also created, he helps produce The Mandalorian with Jon Favreau. He directed an episode. He actually guest starred in the episode before the most recent one as an X-Wing pilot.
Mm-hmm.
He's effectively like the apprentice of George Lucas. If there is somebody that knows more about Star Wars than anybody else, it's Dave Filoni. Which having him in charge of a show like The Mandalorian and having Jon Favreau, who did what he did for the Marvel Universe, Iron Man, putting those two together, oh, they're doing this on purpose. Like it's 100% on purpose. And you've got people that, I don't know. I've honestly lost train of thought. I get so excited about this shit that I lose train of thought because my mind goes in so many different directions. But they are tying universes together, and they're making it happen. With this new season of the Clone Wars coming out, I have a feeling the only reason that's happening is to add in information filler into the story that's going to continue out for another 9 years.
It's so interesting to think that we could be watching. We could have been, you know, watching these movies for 40 plus years. Well, obviously, we haven't been watching them for 40 plus years, but they've been around 40 plus years, and like we're still building on like that original story.
Right.
It's crazy.
Oh yeah. I'm obsessive about it. Kind of disgusting. I am. And my wife's accepted it, but it is what it is. Like this has been my life for as long as I've known. It's been part of my life.
Yeah.
Not something that I just watched and went, that's really cool. I like it. No, like this is ingrained into my life.
Yeah.
And
see, that was my experience. Is like I watched it young when I was younger with my dad, and it was just like, oh, okay, that was a cool movie, like good times. And now, like now that I've surrounded myself with, you know, friends like you and. You know, Yorick and a lot of other people that are very passionate, you know, Obi, that are very passionate about Star Wars. I'm paying a lot more attention watching them now. And obviously this was actually my first run through the prequels where I actually paid really close attention. Before it was like they would be on and I'd kind of have them on while I was doing something else or something like that. But this is the first time where I actually sat down and watched them. It is cool how like the story plays through, like even through the prequels into the original series. And actually
the acting in some parts is very atrocious, but
the story is
fantastic.
But you know, it's going to be interesting because like I have not watched any of the Disney movies yet. So obviously we'll be going into episode 4 next. So once we watch, then we watch Return of the Jedi and Empire Strikes Back, we'll be getting into, you know, the
Wait,
Disney
movies.
You
haven't movie. Even seen The Force Awakens yet?
No, I haven't seen any of the Disney movies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't even know who the fuck Rey is.
No. So, like, I've seen the original trilogy a bunch of times. And like I said, I've seen the prequels, you know, once or twice here or there. And then, like...
That's more than you need to see them.
Since... But it was never a point where like I sat down to watch them. It was like they were on TV and I had them on while I was playing games or doing something, right? So I'd catch bits and pieces, but not actually follow the whole story. And then obviously when Pebble was born, he was born on, like I said, May the 4th. So, like, they had all the movies played, like, in order on, like, Spike TV or something like that. So we had them on then, but obviously, like, I was so sleep-deprived and in and out of comatose that, like, I hardly watched them then. So, like, this was the first time to actually sit down and, like, say now I can say I've legitimately seen all, you know, the first six movies so far. But I still want to watch through 4, 5, and 6 again with my wife because she's never seen any of them.
Like, watch it in, like, true chronological order, like Rogue One?
No, so we watched 1, 2, 3, and then we'll watch 4, 5, 6, and then I'll watch the Disney ones.
Okay, so Rogue One is going to be, like, going back in time, basically.
Where does Rogue One fall?
Rogue One falls before the construction of the Death Star.
Oh, yes. Before New Hope?
Like, the early stages? I can't remember.
It's in between Episode 3 and Episode 4. Right before Episode 4.
Then maybe we'll watch that next. I had a list. Maybe that was what the list says. Maybe I should look before I launch the next movie.
Yeah, Rogue One is actually really great, too.
Because
There's two ways you can watch it, really, because you can watch a chronology like that, and it works out well, but you can also go through it and then watch it again, and it gives you a, oh, holy shit moment. Like, I don't know. But anyways.
I figured we've already lost the reveal of who Luke's father is by watching 1, 2, and 3 first, right? Like, that's, granted, everybody knows that by now, but, like, that's kind of the reveal that you lose by not watching 4 first. Maybe I'll look into that and see if we watch Rogue One next or if we do go 4, 5, 6 and then go back to Rogue One.
Honestly, I think Rogue One is my favorite Disney-made Star Wars movie by far. Yes.
Yeah, I'll agree with
Solo was pretty good, too. That's like a close second.
I enjoyed Solo. I watched that on the flight back from California a couple years ago. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Rogue One, though. It was, I mean, it has Alan Tudyk in it, who I fucking love.
And, yeah.
Oh God, and he does such a, you know that such he's in his own. He's coming back. And the other guy, I can't think of his name. His whatever, whoever worked for the Rebels in that movie, they're getting their own show on Disney.
Are they? Oh. That'd be fucking amazing.
Yeah, they're getting their own miniseries as well. Yeah,
it's crazy what they can do with Star Wars now that the Disney Plus is the thing.
Yeah,
like the implications behind that is just insane. Mm-hmm. Right, because now they don't have to pay somebody to put it on their service. Like, they've got their own streaming service. Like, they can make whatever they want and put it on there.
It's a genius move. And the thing is, they're going to throw money into it and give it the same dollar value that they're going to give a movie. But instead of having a story crammed into 2.5 hours, you can have a story that now expands.
Look at how well The Mandalorian's been played for them. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
I mean, how many people got Disney Plus so they can watch The Mandalorian?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Like, look at it from a grand scale. The Mandalorian is a story that has not a lot of substance, really.
No.
But it makes up for it in these amazing, like, environments and cinematography.
It's produced very well.
It's done so well that you're like, I just want to see more of this universe. It doesn't even have to be, like, insane story or plot lines or anything like that. Like, I just, like, enjoy being in this place.
Like, there's, like, it's, it, like we said, like, it was, it's very self-contained episodes, but then there's these very thin strands that tie everything together, but those strands are so strong, right? I'm probably gonna trigger some people, but look at Baby Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like, in the grand scheme of things, like, he doesn't have a huge involvement in what happens in the episodes.
No.
Right? But...
Well, except for, like, one or two episodes.
One or two times where he, you know, he does things. But, like, still...
Also, that Force choke is probably the best part of the whole episode. I don't care what anybody says.
Which one?
The last episode where again, spoilers, anybody listening that hasn't watched it, go watch it or... Turn this off or don't. Fuck you. I don't care. Whatever. Baby Yoda. force chokes when he Baby Yoda's watching The Mandalorian and what's her face like arm wrestle, and he just reaches out, and you can being that it's like all like that's all real, like they made it, they made him look mean when he did it. Like, I'm gonna, you're fucking hurting somebody that I care about. You're dead.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah. But like, so like, I don't know. It's hard to explain. Like, he's that character with no lines is like the small thread that ties like the whole series of self-contained episodes together.
Yeah.
And
but
yet,
he also.
And yet, I was gonna say, when he gets picked up by the stormtroopers at the end of this episode, like, that is the most impactful point of the entire series. Right?
Yeah, but what I was going to say is he represents one of the few real mysteries left in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because there's zero information on the species that he is.
Yoda, that's why we call him Baby Yoda.
Yeah, because he's not really Yoda. He's not a baby Yoda. He's just baby whatever Yoda is.
He's the child. He's the child.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Show me the baby. That's all. I just want that sound clip on repeat whenever somebody I want to see the baby. I want to be able to talk like him so I can just
like
when Herzog. And you're narrating a documentary.
I want to see the baby. Just, here
you see the baby Yoda in his metal carrier. Werner Herzog, ever heard him do a narration for a documentary? He's got such a distinctive voice.
Oh my God.
It's amazing. Any movie he's ever been in, though, he's literally the exact same person. He
plays himself.
In every single movie he does. But it's better every time I see him, and I don't know how he pulls it off.
Oh, man. Well, that's a solid 30 minutes of Star Wars nerd talk. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what I was going to bring up too about that is that the character that like I screamed about at the end of the last episode, he's only in one episode before that, but the character development is so strong that they made me really care about this fucking guy with almost no screen time, like compared to like say a movie where you have to like you really got a lot of character development. And I think that just goes to show you what Jon Favreau is capable of.
Yeah.
He just fucking does a great job, man.
Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's crazy.
I have spoken.
Yeah.
I have spoken.
I have spoken.
Right? But like, man, you have to say, right?
That's all you have. Exactly.
And like, there's been these lines that like the groups of people that talk right before everybody else has seen the episode, you have this like secret club, like, I know, I have spoken. And everybody that's seen that episode knows exactly what you're fucking talking about. Or, this is the way. And everybody that's seen that episode knows exactly what you're talking about. You have, like, this little secret club that you can, like, chat about, right? But, like, they do such a good job of that, like, of giving you these almost, like, meta...
anchor points to grab onto.
Like. Yeah.
But they do such a damn good job of it. Like,
it doesn't come across as cheesy or garbage content.
Wow. All right. So let's take a step back into time here.
Oh, no.
Think about Iron Man for a second when Jon Favreau made that movie.
Okay.
What are two things that like stand out to you about Iron Man?
Tony Stark made this in a cave with scraps.
Bingo. For me, it's AC/DC for one.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I am Iron Man. Those two things right there stand out to me about that movie and that character in general.
Yeah.
Like, he is Iron Man, and then AC/DC for some reason is his music. That's what they decided to pick. But, like, it worked. It worked. And it's stuck with you. And that is the I have spoken.
Yeah.
And
that pivotal moment, and you could tell because that pivotal moment where he's like, no, I need to eat a cheeseburger. Or whatever, like it brought that back all the way. How like a decade later brings that back to Endgame with like his kid. You know what I mean? Like,
and I, I still tear up at that moment. And maybe because I'm a father, maybe that's what it is. Yeah. I don't know. I I'm a father of a daughter. I don't know if that's it. I don't know what it is, but like that moment. And there's movies I've cried in before, but like if I watch them again, I don't cry again because I'm over that emotion.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
For some reason, I can even think about that and I get all like, I get that knot in my throat.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it just goes to show you how good he is at creating these moments. Yeah. That like a decade later, this is the thing that, you know, that call back to this is the reason they call back to it is because of the emotion it's going to evoke on you. You know what I mean? Like, it's just really great. It's very good. The guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Have you watched any of his shows on Netflix? The cooking shows that he's done.
I didn't know he's done cooking shows.
I haven't, but I've seen his movie Chef, which I absolutely loved.
All right, so if you love Chef, he actually has a show that's based off of that.
I know. I've seen the things for it. I just haven't watched it.
Watch it. There's two seasons, and he meets up with, like, you know, famous people and whatnot. They just fucking make shit.
Mm-hmm.
But like they talk about all these different things, and actually one of the last season, one of the great episodes, they go to the Skywalker Ranch to tie in Star Wars again because I always can. They go to the Skywalker Ranch, and the Skywalker Ranch apparently has like this master kitchen with like this hired chef. But anyways, he's in there cooking with a guy that helped him on his movie Chef, which is what these seasons are about. It's him and the guy that helped him with that movie, and they just go around making all this stuff.
Oh man, he wrote went
to that Skywalker Ranch.
Pretty cool.
He wrote Swingers too.
Yeah, he was in Swingers. He actually starred in Swingers.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, him and
I mean, now that I'm looking at it, it's blatantly obvious. But yeah, I never made that connection.
I think of the other guy's name. Yeah, he was in. Yeah, it's crazy. He's very, very fucking talented.
Yeah, definitely. And for those of you listening who don't know who Jon Favreau is, I don't know. Like my headset cut out, but did you mention that he's happy?
Happy?
Yeah, he's happy. He's happy. Yeah. Happy Hogan.
Yeah, in all the Iron Man movies.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's Jon Favreau.
Yes, Jon Favreau. Yeah.
He's got quite the resume. Quite the resume.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I mean he goes way back. Like if one of the great movies, if you've ever seen him and Vince Vaughn do this movie called what was it, Made? I think it's called.
Yes, that was before. I don't think I've seen that one. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like I forget honestly what the plot was. It's so long since I've seen it, but I remember thinking this is great. This is fucking so good. They're like, I think I remember them being in like Vegas and getting beat the shit beat out of them and like
yeah. And Swingers and whatnot and shit.
Oh, that's what it was. Well, you know what's crazy? Maybe it was Swingers I'm thinking of.
He made the live action Lion King that came out recently. That was him who directed all that.
Yeah. Wow.
His shit is, he's got a lot of stuff. Great dude. Great dude.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah. So yeah, if you guys haven't yet, go watch Mandalorian, man. It's fucking awesome. Even if you don't like Star Wars, my wife's totally into it. She reminds me about episodes on Friday night, and she doesn't even like Star Wars. So, what about video games? You guys been playing anything?
You know, I got back into Red Dead. I'm not gonna lie, got back into Red Dead. Really liked it.
Playing Red Dead Online, or are you playing through on PC?
No, I fear playing Red Dead on my Frankenstein computer, but I tried finishing the story, and then I booted up online, and I went, holy shit, online's fucking good. Like it wasn't when it first released, so I got addicted to online for a bit there.
So how does the online work in there?
I mean, if you've played GTA online, it's very similar.
Okay.
Except
being a cowboy.
Yeah, except you're a cowboy and you're not, like, there's not cities. There's not roads. You're just there. You're in an open environment.
That's pretty cool.
You go out and do what the fuck you want. It's really good. I enjoy it. Destiny.
Yeah, Destiny.
What about you? What about you, Whiskey? What are you on to?
You just asked me, right? Because my headset keeps fucking turning off.
Oh. Yeah, what have you been playing?
So I played, what was I just playing? Halo Reach, because I'm a Halo-obsessed person. I love fucking Halo. Like, that was my game back in the day. I've talked about it before on the podcast. Just go back and listen to the many episodes that me and Rock talk about different shit. But yeah, I love Halo. So I finally got Master Chief Collection on PC. And last stream I did Halo Reach, which was interesting. I hadn't played that in a long time. And I realized that I think that this is the one game that I need to play with a controller. Like,
oh, really?
I need to play that game with a controller because my brain is so ingrained with a controller playing Halo because that's the only way I could play it for the longest time other than the very brief instance where I played original Halo on PC. But yeah, I just it doesn't work for me. It doesn't work. I'm just super set in the way of using a controller. So I'm going to try and get my old original Xbox, not Xbox 360, but original Xbox FPS Master Controller working, and I'm going to try and play it with that.
Oh, you're going way back.
Epic. Oh, yeah, because here's the weird thing. The FPS Master Controller is the best controller ever made for a console. Ever made. In my opinion, it's the best controller ever made for a console, especially for FPS games. They have not made a controller like this controller since then. Like, not even close. They haven't made a controller even close to this controller. If you Google it...
Now, is this the bigger one that's almost like a circle, but like...
No. This is... It's a custom... It's a
third-party
controller.
You're thinking of the Duke.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I am. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, if you Google FPS Master Controller, this is the only thing that will show up. It's brown. It's got pistol grips.
Oh, no, yeah. Holy shit.
There's nothing like it, and all of the A, B, X, Y button is all scuff. It's underneath the pistol grips, so it's on your pointer and middle fingers on each hand. Oh, so wow. You never have to take your thumbs off the joysticks. So it allows you to seamlessly play a console game without ever having to stop your movement. Like on a PC, you can, you know, you're constantly able to move your character because mouse and keyboard is set up in a way that you don't have to take your thumb off of the movement device, you know, or take your focus off the movement device to hit something.
Yeah.
So this controller, honestly, in my opinion, is still the best setup for any game console controller ever. And they never made it again. This company, Gamester, made it, and I don't know what happened to them, but there's not a controller out there that's like this one again. Not only that, but you could actually remap your controller's buttons on the fly on the controller itself. So it didn't matter what the game, if the game didn't have button remapping in the game, because back then some games didn't allow you to change the button map at all, or you couldn't let you change the button map to certain ways that you wanted to do it. This controller allowed you to interchange literally any button. So you could like take the click on the joystick and just throw it on the A button if you wanted. Like you could map anything to anything. It was the best fucking controller ever made, except for the quality.
It legit looks like every company that's made a controller since has taken aspects of that thing and put it into their controller. Like it really looks almost like a Dreamcast mixed with Xbox. With the design of like an elongated like N64, PS4, like it looks crazy.
The pistol grips were fucking great, and I bought one. I paid like an arm and leg for it. I think I paid like $65 for this controller on eBay because I was like, I need to have this controller. Like I had a bunch of them when I used to play Halo back in the day, but the thing about the controller is that the springs on the triggers were poorly sourced, I guess. So after like a couple months of my playing, because I would play like every friggin' night for hours at a time,
yeah,
the springs would break on the triggers. So I would be mid match and like the spring on the trigger would break, and like all my friends would be like, "No, you serious?" Like because they like it happened so much that they were like knew about it at that point. But yeah, I can't say enough about the design of it, like the layout of it. Just the quality of it was a little, I mean, it was really only the trigger springs. That was the only thing I ever had issue with.
And you've still got one of these?
I have one. Yeah, I still have it sitting right next to me right now because I pulled it out the other day to see if I can use it while I was streaming, play Halo Reach, and the PC didn't recognize it. So I just looked online afterwards, though. There's some drivers and stuff available for it, so I'm going to see if I can get it to work. but it's amazing. It's amazing.
It's just a cool ass looking controller. I just looked it up on Google because I'd never heard of it before.
Yeah. It's so comfortable. Like when you rest your hands on the pistol grips, your the two fingers just lay right on the scuff buttons, like the X, Y, yeah. A, B. And like they literally don't even exist on the other side of the controller. The only way you can access them is underside on the pistol grips. It was the best controller ever. And it still is, in my opinion. But other than that, I've been playing Boneworks in VR, which is fucking amazing.
That's the one you were talking about the last time on the podcast, right?
Yeah.
It's got Boneworks. Actual like hand collision or something like that.
Everything is interactable.
Yeah.
Like everything. That's awesome. This is like one of the few games that I've played where like the thought in my head, I'm like, I wonder if I could do this. The answer is always yes. Like I was holding an axe in one hand, right? And I wanted to it's so like physically realistic in the sense that you can grip this axe pretty much anywhere on the handle. So I had gripped it way too low, and like when you swing it around, you can see your wrist is a little floppy because you're holding the axe and the weight is way higher above, so it's hard to control the axe. So I literally like had something else in my left hand. I loosened my grip on the axe and then pushed the axe down in my hand, and my hand slid up the axe, and I just gripped it at a better like gripping point.
That's nuts. I didn't think VR was there.
Oh, it is.
It's next level shit.
Oh my God, it's so amazing. Like, and one time I had it like where I had a hammer, right? And I had picked up the hammer, and the weight was on the underside. So like the head, I'd picked it up upside down. So I was like, fuck, this is no good. So I literally like loosened my grip a little bit and like released it and threw it up in the air and then caught it in the right orientation. Like,
God.
You would in real life. Like, it's so fucking cool. Like the things that you think, like that you would do in real life, like you would be like, well, in a game, I'd have to like grab that handle to open a locker. Like, no, in this, I literally just took like the claw on a hammer and like put it in the handle of the locker, and then was able to pull open the locker with that. Like, you know what I mean? Like everything is physically interactable to the point where it's just fucking sick. Like, so good.
This makes me think, have you guys watched the Imagineers on Disney Plus yet?
Yes.
I haven't, because I don't have Disney Plus. I've just been pirating the shit that I want.
Well, that's there now. look it up however you want to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's like 6 episodes, and I think we're on like the 4th or 5th episode. They get into this where they're talking about how they go through the rides, test the rides without actually being in the ride. Mm-hmm. They use a lot of virtual reality.
Yeah.
They talk about the room that they have that they call the holodeck, or it's got an actual, I can't remember what it is, but you can go in there and you can almost do whatever you wanted to see how it's going to react with whatever like ride they are designing, or whatever they're designing for a park. You can walk this way, and this is how many feet it's going to be, and this is what's going to be next to you, and this is how this is going to act, and this is going to be. And it blew my mind. I was like, holy shit, these are the things that I've been dreaming about. Like,
yeah.
I never thought VR was there. I thought VR was still you put on a headset and you kind of just dirt inside of a virtual like video game.
Well, I think we've reached a point where like we've always said like there's the level of technology that the consumer has and there's the level of technology that the government has. And I think we've reached a third tier of that where we have like the consumer technology, the government technology, and then we have Disney's technology, which is like the next step up, right? Like some of the stuff that they have and that they do is absolutely insane.
They gotta stay ahead of their game though, because I mean, shit, if you're gonna build something that that's gonna take a year to build, you gotta make sure you're thinking like 4 years into the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know what the Imagineers are. Like I've read about them and seen things about them before. As an electrical and software engineer, it's honestly kind of a wet dream, that job.
You need to watch this show, because it would be 100% up your alley.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were talking about like people that have PhDs and whatnot, and they're like, yeah, this is what I do, and I love it. Yeah. I love every bit of it.
Just ask Rob. Like everything I've heard about their new Star Wars ride, like there's so much fucking technology that went into that ride. It's ridiculous.
There's there's another one. I forget what it's called. It's a straight up documentary called Building Something, but it's about the development and the design and the building of Galaxy's Edge, like the new Star Wars deal. Mm-hmm. And it was like a small like documentary type thing, but it was really cool. Like it went into, like you said, like a lot of the technology that went into, you know, everything from building the rides to how they came up with like the food. Like, so all the food is obviously inspired. Like you can't just go there and get a cheeseburger. You get like, you know, stuff that was inspired by the movies, and how they came up with that. And, it's a really cool, like all the stuff they do there is just so well thought out.
The immersion is it makes me excited for their next, like whatever this crew. So the next Star Wars expansion they're doing is like, you have all these parks that have their own like resorts, and the next like resort is Star Wars, but it's 100% immersion.
Yeah.
It's a cruise ship, and you go onto it, and when you get onto it, you create a character. You're either light or dark, but you're on this cruise ship that's in space. And if you look out a window, it looks like you're in space. You don't see Florida. You see stars and star systems. And the first stop you make is Galaxy's Edge. So, like, they're doing this immersion thing. Like, we're going to put you into a world that you've only seen in movies. And that's that's the capability to do that is mind-boggling.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Absolutely. Disney, I hope you're listening right now. Please hire me. I have a lot of ideas.
Disney's up there on the list of dream jobs.
Oh, 100%. But
for me, I think the list consists of other people too. Like it's for me, I think I don't know who would be first, but I've always wanted to work for Google X. Google X is probably close to first, and then SpaceX, Tesla, and Disney would be in there as well. But Google X is like, I don't, if you guys, do you know what Google X is?
I know of Google. I don't know the details.
Yeah, so Google X is this moonshot development offshoot of Google where they literally just have engineers and creative people hanging out, working on different projects. And the way they do development is someone comes up with an idea. And so like Google Glass came out of Google X.
Okay.
And it was one of the most successful Google X projects because people heard about it. Because Google X, basically they'll be like, no idea is too out there. No idea is too undoable or crazy. And they'll vote on what they want to work on or whatever. And when they decide they want to work on something, they take that project and they run as far as they can with it until it either comes to market or the project hits a dead end. So they'll basically, they're like, we're going to give anything a chance. So they'll work on it until it either becomes no longer feasible or they bring it to market. And Google Glass was one of the projects that actually had made it to a real product that they could sell. And whenever a project ends up hitting a dead end or dying, they put like a thing up on the wall at the factory or at the plant or whatever. So like it's remembered as a project that was, you know, worked on but died, you know. So I just like, to me, that's like the most ideal workspace because it's like, fuck, man, I just want to work on these crazy ideas, this cool shit that people think maybe might not be something that would work, and then let's see if we can make it work. Like, how far can we take it? That's, to me, is such a cool concept.
That's sweet.
I'm 100% behind that.
I don't know. Like, I don't know what the dream job would be. Imagineer obviously would be up there, though.
Yeah,
definitely. I'm an ideas guy, so like I would love to just and mainly because I spent the majority of my early life not paying attention in school. Otherwise, I'd be a creator. But like, I've got a lot of ideas, and I just I can't, you know, get them to work. That's like, that's what I want to do. I want to just sit there and create ideas and be like, you make this shit happen. Unfortunately, you've apparently got to go through the whole process of being able to actually create that stuff before you can sell those ideas.
Yeah, you got to prove out that you have good ideas.
Right, yeah, exactly. I can't just write, like, poop on paper and...
and somebody goes and makes it.
Yeah, somebody makes it. Ah, shit on paper, woo!
Yeah, so, I don't know. But
we've been talking a lot about shows and movies.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to bring this up while we were kind of in that vein before. Have either of you guys started watching The Witcher on Netflix?
I have not.
I have.
I think I'm on episode 3 right now, and
through the first episode myself.
What did you think of it?
I liked it. The first episode seemed pretty good to me.
Yeah.
I didn't know how I was gonna feel about what's his face playing Geralt.
Oh, I think he nails it.
Oh, 100%. And the fact that he gets the voice down of what's the guy that played? I can't think of the voice actor's name.
Coakley or something like that.
Yeah.
He really nails it.
He nails it. And it gives such... It makes me feel familiar to his character, and I think that's why I like it so much.
And here's the crazy thing. I haven't even played a lot of The Witcher 3, at least, because that was the only one I ever downloaded, was The Witcher 3. And I kind of gave up on it because I had a pirated copy and I just like didn't get into it originally and kind of left it. But I was interested in this series because I know Netflix put a lot of money behind it and they put a lot of investment into it. So it was like they clearly believe this is going to be something that will, you know, succeed. And then I read all these mixed reviews where some people were like, this is amazing. And some people were like, this show is ridiculous. And I think that I fall into the former in the sense that like I like fantasy as a genre. I really do. I listen to a lot of audiobooks that are in that genre as well as like literary RPG and things like that. So it's very much in the vein of that. And I think that people were expecting Game of Thrones and they're just disappointed that it's not Game of Thrones, which I knew it wasn't going to be because it's they're completely different stories. Like, and that's the obvious comparison that everyone makes because like, oh, it's a fantasy series. Like, well, no, this is a real fantasy series. Like they go hard and
it's based off of legitimate lore.
Yeah.
From Danish culture, if I'm not mistaken. Like it's not just some guy making up a story, which is fine. But it's like it's legitimate. Like this is based in actual history.
Yeah, like it's well, because some people are like, well, Game of Thrones was like a fantasy light, right? So like you had like a little bit of magic, some dragons, but for the most part, it was just medieval like times. Whereas this show is like, no, fantasy is like in full effect. You have sorcerers, you have, you know, different races and elves and things like that. So yeah. I think because it goes so hard into that fantasy side of it, people were like expecting something different and got that. And then we're like, oh, well, this is not Game of Thrones. So I think that's the reason.
Can't get into this easily. That's No, I agree with you. I hope it becomes as popular as the Game of Thrones.
I like it a lot. For the first two episodes that I saw, I really enjoyed I can see some setup and I can see like some cool stuff that's going to happen. And like, I'm excited to finish it. I'm excited to see the rest of it.
Yeah, I agree. I think as a gamer too, and Rock, you can attest to this probably. Well, you haven't watched it, but
yeah,
you can understand or maybe make the relations as well that like me watching the show, I can actually feel myself playing the show, if that makes any sense. Like I don't know if have you played The Witcher?
When I bought my GPU, I downloaded The Witcher as like my version of Crysis 3, which for people that aren't into PC gaming, that's like the benchmark by which you test graphics. And Witcher is one of those games that when you turn things up, the game looks phenomenal.
That's absolutely cool.
So,
but like for me, it felt like the dialogue, the way things were done.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm playing a game on like story mode, like narrative mode. Like where, yeah, sure, in the middle I can fight and it'll be easy, but like I'm here to watch the story. Like, I don't know. That's what I felt watching the first episode, and it made me happy. Because you don't have a lot of things that have been transformed from games to movies or TV shows have failed miserably. So see this. It was really nice.
That's cool. I'll have to put that on our list. We've been watching our big ones so far has been Mandalorian, obviously, and then the Jeff Goldblum show that's also on Disney Plus. We've been enjoying that. It's pretty cool.
I need to catch up on that show.
He's quite the character, man, but like the way like he goes into like these, so like the concept behind the show is like he picks a topic each week and he like deep dives into the culture surrounding that topic. So he's done like shoes, he's done tattoos, he did one on gaming, and he did one on denim, and like he goes as far as like in the denim one, and he like there's apparently these dudes that go and like search like these abandoned mines for like old denim, and there's like this multi-million-dollar industry of people that collect like super worn denim and shit like that, and he does like all this really cool like social analysis of like what drives people to care so much about these things. And it's really cool. It's really been an enjoyable show. In fact, that just reminded me that the new episode came out, yesterday. So we're gonna have to watch that.
Oh yeah. I love the television. I love television. I do.
I grew up. Man, I don't watch much of it, but like when a show grabs me like these ones do, I'm in. We just started watching another show, God, what was it called? It's called Body Cam. It's on Investigation Discovery. It is,
dude. Hey, that's my channel.
It is heavy. Like, it is like raw body cam footage of like police officers and like some of the stuff that they go through, and like they don't cut away like for the gunfights, and like they don't cut away when they walk into a room of somebody like assaulting somebody with a knife. Like, I mean, they blur out some of the more egregious stuff, but it is like, it is wild, like the anxiety that builds up, like, cause you're basically like with these police officers as they're like trying to enter a house that they know that a gunman is in there somewhere. And like,
there's,
it's wild.
There's very few people that know. I don't know what a gunfight is like. I've never been in a gunfight before, but I've fired guns and I've been through training and whatnot. Yeah. Like I've watched that show as well. And when you're watching it, yeah. You feel like holy shit.
Yeah.
Like,
it's tense, and it's a show. I mean we've been pretty addicted to it, but it's like it's one of those shows that like I can't watch right before bed, because you get like so amped up like from this show. It's like there's no way you're sleeping after it.
So you break into my house because I want to fucking do this shit.
I mean, I don't know if I'd go that far, but like, it's just like, it's just like wild, you know, like you'll get like they're telling the story as they show, like they're recapping the story as they show the footage. Right. So it's like you're there and you're kind of like living it with them. And it is a cool look. It's like Cops, if Cops wasn't, you know,
age
so censored
and picked to make things entertaining.
Yeah
I've heard similar things about that show, Live PD.
Same
yeah,
and that, I mean, it's a cool show, but like you can tell that it's not live.
No,
I don't think so. It seems like they always seem to be too, like, too many like perfect things happening for them to run into.
I've never watched it, so I don't know.
So we've all done live, obviously. We stream and whatnot. And
yeah.
I mean, there's a point where like you just don't say anything. No, there's you're playing a game or whatever, and that's it. That's the content.
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder, like, if this live PD, if everything actually is live, how much content are they make? Like, how much do they record? And who has to sit in front of that?
Yeah.
pick out what's going to be the quote unquote perfect situation, or like you said, if it's not perfect.
Yeah.
Because any live show you watch on network television, for the most part, is 100% produced.
Yeah.
Like, I've been there. I've been in the vans. Like, I know. Like, it is. It's 100% produced.
Which is fine. Like, you're putting on a show, right?
Right. Exactly. It's entertainment at its bare minimum. If it's not news on TV, which at this point is still questionable.
Yeah, still, you don't know.
Yeah, it's... If you're watching something else, it's entertainment. Like anybody that gets hooked onto like Big Brother or any of those other shows, which are fine, Hell's Kitchen, any of that stuff, it's still produced. Yep. There is somebody somewhere telling people to do something specifically to make another action.
Yeah. And that's entertainment though, right? Is like you watch for those moments, and you can't rely on life providing these like once in a million moments. Like, sometimes you have to kind of force them along, so to speak.
Maybe that's why gaming and streaming go hand in hand. Because even though you're playing a linear game, if you will, there's still moments that are unpredictable.
Yeah. Well, and I think it is. Like, a lot of my most enjoyable things to watch on stream is, like one of my favorite things to watch on stream is somebody's first experience with Destiny. Or the first time they play through a specific activity that I know creates a feeling, or like the first time somebody does a raid and like being able to see their reaction, right, and enjoy that, because you almost get to enjoy it again. Like, it's been a long time since I've gone into a raid for the first time. You know, this is way back in, 2013 was like the first time I went into a raid, and like that experience, like that feeling, like holy shit, like this is on a scale so different than anything I've ever played before. Like, being able to have those experiences again through other people is kind of cool, right? So that's, I think, one of the draws of live streaming. But then there is also that almost like slot machine component of, this could be the stream that you're watching somebody that does something absolutely insane that goes viral, and you can say, I was there.
It makes sense why roleplay game, GTA roleplay, is so popular.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that cops TV. Like, that's what you're watching.
Yep.
Speaking of raids, and this is a different type of raid, but that's also why I love raiding someone who appreciates it. Like, raiding on streaming services like Mixer or Twitch, when you go give them a nice host and tell everybody, drop these people follows. That's one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah.
Because the gratitude and the just surprise on their faces is super satisfying.
Yeah. I love that.
Making people happy is such a...
It is.
I wish more people would do it.
Super addicting. That's why it's like,
super
I wish...
simple to do.
I wish I had, like, Bezos money so, like, I could just, like, give shit away. Like, all the time. Mr. Beast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or, like Mr. Beast.
Yeah. Rocks 25? Is that what you give out, 25 gifts? Or whatever the fuck Ellen does now, or Oprah did.
Oh, dude, I'd make Ellen look like a chump.
You're getting jobs as Imagineers.
That's right. You're an Imagineer. You're an Imagineer.
You're an Imagineer.
Everybody's an Imagineer.
What the fuck? I didn't want this.
I have no training.
Oh, fucking Disney, man. I saw some photos from Rob's recent trip on his honeymoon.
Yeah.
And his wife was over the other night. And
are those on the premium Patreon?
No. There's that was on his wife's phone.
Oh.
She showed me some photos from when they were at the Star Wars cantina, and I was so fucking jealous. Because let me tell you, this cantina looked perfect. Like, it looked like photo perfect from like the canteen, of the way it is in my mind's eye. That's the way it looked. And like, they had these awesome fucking drinks, and like, it was so amazing that apparently, like, and I'm guessing this is because it's still new, obviously, so probably like 5 years from now it won't be this way, but like, you had, I think she said it was like you had 40 minutes or something and two drinks, and that was it. and then you had to leave the cantina because of how many people wanted to be in
there. Just stay there. Yeah,
that makes sense. It's, well, he was talking about how he waited 10-plus hours to get on the new ride. He was like, I got there at 6 a.m. and I didn't ride until 7 p.m. And I went, holy shit.
And he said it was worth it.
Yeah, no, exactly. He said it was worth it. And I was like, well, I'm going to do that. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make sure to make you guys all I'm going in June, by the way. Like, I'm going. We're making a whole. Like,
yeah, you'll die of heat exhaustion before you get in, so I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, probably. More than likely. But well, yeah,
They do it the right way, though. They have virtual queues, so you mm-hmm. wait on a virtual line, so you can still go enjoy right. shit while you're waiting.
Yep.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. They've made waiting in line a science. I mean, one of like my background is in industrial engineering, and I focus in manufacturing. But like part of industrial engineering is like that idea of how do you maximize flow through some sort of a process or some sort of a queue. And there's a lot of industrial engineers that work on queuing systems, which would be like when you're waiting in line for a ride. And they have some very talented engineers that have, you know, discovered ways to make the 10-hour wait not seem like it's such a big deal, and make people actually willing to wait 10 hours to ride a ride.
Well, and to go back to the technology side of it, like, I was at Disney last probably like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And everything I was doing was friggin' biometric. Like, when I went to sign into the park, I just used my thumbprint.
Yep.
Like, that's how I got into the freaking park.
Ten years ago, a decade ago.
Yep.
Like, before phones were using it to unlock phones, like, way before that,
yep.
I was doing it to get into the Disney park. Like,
and how much faster is it?
Way faster.
Yeah, and how much harder is it for you to, you know, cheat the system?
Yeah, it definitely was harder.
You know what I mean? Like, that's, but, like... So they get a benefit, you get a benefit of it, right? And it doesn't seem like it's just them cracking down on, you know, people, you know, shopping tickets around. It's a convenience for the user as well.
And on top of that, it's peace of mind, because like it's supposed to be the greatest place on earth, and along with that is comes safety. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. they try very hard to keep their parks as safe as possible. So all of that goes along with it. Like, they know who is getting into the park. They know what's happening in, you know, different areas. Like, there's a lot going on behind the scenes at those friggin' parks.
That reminds me of an episode of that Imagineer show, by the way, about them and safety and whatnot. They opened up a park in Japan, and they had to go through a lot of different things, but effectively they poured ground into the ocean to create a whole nother land, if you will, for this park. Back in, what was it, 2011, I think, whenever the horrible tsunami wiped out like portions of Japan.
Oh yeah.
I think the way the episode went is like, America after 9/11, we had a president that came out and said, hey, we're gonna go back to work, we're gonna be America, we're gonna continue doing our thing.
Mm-hmm.
Over there, they didn't have anybody that came out after their like people died and a city was lost and, you know, whatnot. But apparently, so Disney like shut down, that Disney park shut down for like a month, but it reopened and people flooded to it because it was like a beacon of hope and safety.
Yeah.
Like in a time that was like travesty for them. And it like to your point, like that's their whole thing, is like, holy shit, yeah, Disney means like happy. Disney means the place you need to go.
It's just because they spend so much focus on the details, right? Like, it's all about the experience there. Like, I think I've told this story before. Like, we got engaged, you know, the real cliche thing. We got engaged at Cinderella's castle at Magic Kingdom. And, you know, I did the whole get down on one knee, you know, asked her, and by the time she said yes, right, and I stood up, there was a cast member there with buttons for us that said just engaged.
Wow.
Like, before,
that's fucking crazy.
Like, before I even stood up. But you know what? Like, that little detail is never gonna leave my mind.
No,
right? Like, I just told this story, you know, 7 years later, right? And like, that's an experience that they created, that they've created. Yeah. Right,
it's an experience they created that you never asked for. That wasn't like something you signed up for on the ticket.
No,
that's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not like you know, we got up, we took some pictures with our friends and family, then somebody came up. As I was standing up, somebody was there and said, "Here, congratulations." I'm like, holy shit! Like, that's
it's all about creating that magical experience at Disney.
And nobody really does it like Disney.
Fucking great job. They really do.
Yep.
They really do. And well, I mean, I still remember, like you're saying, granted it was with the Next at the time, but I was there and we were going through the Animal Kingdom park.
Oh, yeah.
And they had just opened up the Himalayan ride, I think it was called. It was like the Yeti one.
Yeah.
And we were like walking over this bridge and someone came up to us and was like, "Here, have this." And it was like they had this like promotion going on. It was like the magical something or other of whatever year it was.
Sure.
And they gave us these passes. And basically it meant that we could come back to the park after the entire park was closed and have free run of the entire place.
Wow.
Like, no lines. So we literally like came back to the Animal Kingdom later that night, and I went on that friggin' Himalayan ride like 10 times in a row because there's no line. So I was just like,
my gosh.
It was such a great ride. I literally was just like, I'm getting right back on. Like, as soon as the ride ended, and like, we could literally go on anything we wanted. So like, that experience has stuck with me to this day because it was like, that's awesome. They made me feel special. You know what I mean? Like, they made you feel like important almost.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. It's a little thing. But the fact
that it creates a memory,
the way they did it, exactly. Yeah. And that's what it's about.
Right.
So I totally agree.
I at this point will submit my loyalty to Disney, and they can have me when they rule the world.
The juggernaut.
And Disney, if you're listening, if you got jobs, I'm there. I'll do whatever you want. You thank you, sir. May I have another? All right.
Sign me up.
I will say that it's a missed opportunity that you didn't propose on the Jaws ride right when Jaws pops out of the water.
I'm sorry. I'll go like for like our renewals or something like that, and I'll repropose at Jaws.
That's
your 50th anniversary, because there's a chance of like some really funny shit happening.
Yeah,
that's
literally
a reference. that's a reference to a Kevin Smith movie. Do either of you remember that one?
No.
That's Mallrats. Mallrats.
Oh, you're going back. You're going old
way
school.
Back.
Was it Mall? No, it was Clerks that just got put into the Library of Congress, right? Isn't that the?
Was it? That's amazing.
Yeah. I was reading. Kevin Smith posted something on Instagram, and he was like, "This is I think it's Clerks. I think his movie Clerks got put into the Library of Congress.
Wow.
For the year of 2019 or something like that.
It's wild.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. All right, well, let's wrap it up there, since we just kind of improvised an entire like nerddom podcast for the last hour and 15 minutes.
I liked it.
I did too.
We bounced around like a pinball machine. It was great.
It was fun. We'll see if the people that listen to this show enjoy it. Obviously, if you guys listen to this, let us know what you think. This is a lot easier than trying to schedule stuff, so. When things fall through the crack, it's not hard to just kind of come up with something and chat for an hour. Pal, why don't you let people know where they can find you?
You can find me on twitch.tv/EmperorPalpastream. You can find me on Twitter at @Palpastream, on Instagram @Palpastream, on Facebook @EmperorPalpastream.
Whiskey, where might people find you?
They can find me on Mixer.
Yeah.
Happy hunting.
Happy hunting. You guys know me. I'm Roxy Roller. You can find me on Twitch, Instagram, and Facebook at Roxy Roller, YouTube at Roxy Roller TV, and Twitter at Roxy Roller 1. Thank you guys for joining me this afternoon. Keep an eye on the Discord, everybody. I'm going to put some stuff in the podcast channels. To prep for next week's 1 year anniversary. Gonna ask for some help from the community. So keep your eyes open for that. And once again, this has been the One of Us community podcast. Bye.